informal instruction is also very important, for it is easier to see a sermon than to hear one.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Greetings once again to our radio listeners. This evening's broadcast program is coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly in the East Mount Airy section of Philadelphia, where Pastor Brian Grant will be bringing the second part of his Father's Day message, emphasizing five Bible-centered parenting practices that focus on the key role fathers play in the lives of their children, practices that model God's designed blueprint for a happy home. We invite you then to listen with us as Pastor Grant concludes his message, Five Important Parenting Keys to a Happy Home. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Take that pin and add it to the card. Amen. Hallelujah. Let them know you love them, you're proud of them, and you're praying for them. Amen. I tell you, even that child who's been acting up for a while, you'd be amazed what God can do. Amen. I love you. Write it. I'm praying for you. But here's something we often miss. Okay, so we just said children thrive on their parents' affection for them. But here's something else I don't want you to miss. Children thrive on their parents' affection for each other. Ha ha! Ephesians chapter 5. I didn't know I was going to have such a good time preaching this message. But Ephesians chapter 5, probably I'm preaching it to myself. I mean, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 28. Here's what it says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands, verse 28 is my key, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Amen. Loves himself. When your kids seeing you loving their mother, what do you think it does to a child who sees his dad loving his mother? It makes that child feel secure. Are you with me? When a child sees the dad loving their mom, it makes the children feel secure, for they've seen the pain a friend experienced when their parents split, and they're hoping this will not happen to their parents. So when they see the loving interaction between mom and dad, it gives them security. Amen. How are things at your home? Is there a sincere demonstration of affection? Amen. Is there a sincere demonstration of affection? Don't tell me, I love her and I'm keeping it in my heart. Let it out. If you, all right? Let it out. Listen. I've been married long enough to know, and I've counseled enough people to know that marriage is not without its challenges. And men, if your marriage is in trouble, you need to get help. And if you're willing to get counseling, you're... Can I say this to you? Men, if your marriage is in trouble and you're willing to get counseling, guess who is likely to get counseling as well? Your wife. Because do you know who is the hardest person to get in front of a counselor? The man. Mom realizes our family's in trouble, and she's calling us, and we'll do everything we can to help. But daddy refuses to come. It is very hard for us to help a mom who needs help if daddy refuses to come. You need to get help. So get help as best you can. Well, okay, let's go to key number four. Fourth key to successful parenting, family cohesiveness. Family cohesiveness. Kids thrive in a cohesive family that spends time together. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we are told to raise our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. An important aspect of this is through formal instruction like family devotions, which we'll talk about in a moment. But informal instruction is also very important, for it is easier to see a sermon than to hear one. You got that? It's easy to tell the kids what to do. Why don't you let them see it? Show them by your lifestyle and by your interaction with your spouse what you're talking about. Let them see love in action. Let them see gentleness. Show it to them. Kids may not grasp what you said in devotions, but it will come to life when it's lived out. Some of us can thank God for a daddy who showed us what it means to love his wife and what it means to love his children. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. To a passage of scripture that every now and then I refer to. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then the Lord goes on, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. So here's the exact, what God is saying is, the words, the scriptures that you're teaching in your house, you're supposed to show it. You're to teach them. You should demonstrate it when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your head, and they shall be as frontlet between your eyes. Actually, the Jews actually put that thing on their head, in their forehead now. You shall write them on the doorposts or your house, of your house and of your gates. God wants to make sure that this thing is not just talk, but it's actually acted out. The impact, listen, the impact was to be made while they did life together. That's the whole idea of Deuteronomy chapter 6. The impact of the word of God is to be seen, evidenced in daily life. Amen. So here's three things to add. Number one, make sure you eat together. Is that all right with you? Slow down, daddy. Slow down, mommy. In some homes, it's going to call for a total rewiring. Can I tell you this? I'm glad when I find some of this wonderful information. The secret of happy families, this is not a Christian book. Here is what the research shows. The research shows that children who eat dinner with their families are less likely to drink, less likely to smoke, less likely to do drugs, less likely to get pregnant, less likely to commit suicide, and less likely to develop eating disorders. Here's another thing. Additional research found that children who enjoy family meals have larger vocabularies, better manners, healthier diets, and higher self-esteem. A lot of the stuff we're struggling to achieve in our families could have been impacted if we did a simple thing. like eating dinner together. And people say, I can't eat together. I got to do this. Slow down. Are you with me? Slow down. Eat together. You'll find out a lot at the dinner table, by the way, because everybody's defenses are down when they're getting into the oxtail, and all of a sudden, your son, your daughter, they tell you about this or that or the other, which they weren't telling you about in the car. But now we're enjoying that nice piece of whatever. Steak, is it steak? Kids, what do the kids like these days? I don't know what they like. What? Chick-fil-A. No, not Chick-fil-A. Not Chick-fil-A. Huh? Give me some good rice and peas. No. Give me some. You know what I really loved? Stew peas. Stew. Some of you Americans wondering what could be so good about stew peas. Talk to one of these Jamaican ladies and make some stew peas for your sons and daughters. But you'll find that they'll stay at the dinner table a longer time. All right. All right. You see how much free advice I'm giving you this morning? Number one, eat together. That's key, you know. I thank God for a family. We always ate together. We always did. Eat together. Secondly, do things together. Sometimes we're just too busy. I'm glad my dad made time for us. You know, sometimes as I was preparing, I can remember him. He would come from work. He still had on his necktie. And do you know he would jump out of his car with his necktie and he see us kicking the soccer ball and he's out there on the lawn and we're kicking the soccer ball. I'm like, can't you just take your tie off? No, he didn't have time for that. He was right in the game trying to kick, score goals on us. Of course, you know, that wasn't really going to happen. But, you know, he would take us, you know, one of his great, and I think this was strategic looking back. We'd go to the beach, and he'd always, I told you this before, he always liked to take us to a beach that was 3.5 hours away. All the way we lived in Kingston, all the way in Montego Bay. Some of you know how far that is. Man, I tell you, 3.5 hours to Montego Bay, 3.5 hours back from Montego Bay, 7 hours in the car with my daddy and my mommy. Can you imagine how many lessons, how many life lessons were being learned? Amen. As you know, three brothers, one of them is right here. He's the oldest one. I'm the baby. Can you imagine all these big brothers trying to beat up on little Brian? If it was only now that little Brian is not little Brian anymore. But they beat up on poor little Brian. Well, what a lot of lessons we learned as my father and my mom had to deal with all of those challenges and get us to learn about unity. Amen. To get us to learn about unity and forgiveness. Amen. And also to demonstrate for us, they would talk so much about helping people, to care for the needy. There is so much you learn in these conversations. Thank God for you dads who take your children places. We're living in this country of plenty. And sadly, a number of dads will say to me, I have never gone on vacation with my children. I can't afford it. That is not a true story in America. Not for most of us here. You don't have to go to the most luxury. You know, you hear all these people talking about where they went to. You don't have to go to them places. Go to a little. They have all these cheap hotels all over the place. Find one. The idea is not to go to luxury. The idea is time together. Amen? Time together. Hallelujah. Dad, how much time are you spending with your family? Just being in the house together does not count unless you are doing something together. So if you are watching, some of us are on the World Cup right now. Anybody watching the World Cup? So guys, let me pick on you. If you're watching the World Cup in that room or at some other place, and your children are watching the World Cup over there, so why? Can't we all watch together? Amen. And kids, you got to cooperate too. You got to cooperate, you know. If dad said, come, let's watch the World Cup. Oh, no, I got to go. No. Young fellows, you are doing yourself a favor. I got some right in front of me here. You are doing yourself a favor when you cooperate with your parents who desire to spend time with you. It is going to pay dividends. Look at me all these years later, and I can tell you about the time with my dad. It pays and it pays and it pays. Don't just say, I want my young friends here, and we're going to do things together. No, God wants you to be with there are times to be with your family. There are times you can be with your young friends, but there are times you need to do things together with your parents. Am I right about this? Yeah. Boy, everybody is quiet in the front bench. All right. You know, it's okay to play a crossword puzzle together. It's okay to play one of them games that you hold the phone up in front of you. I don't remember the name of the game. There are all these games. What are you going to do? Heads up! Spend time. All right, you say, Pastor, you're running a little long now. All right, eat together. Do things together. And here's the last thing. Have devotions together. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Listen, it's interesting that it even the Bible is even telling you that although it's a boy, sometimes we think, oh, the boys are so hard. The Bible says, train him up in the way he should go. And when that boy is old, he will not depart from it. Can I trust God? Can I depend upon his word? Amen. So let me add a fifth key that's not a part of the secular research. This is the one we're going home with. A home with Christ at the center. A home with Christ at the center. Psalm 127 says this. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. This is the most important of all the keys. For when Christ is the center, he can give us the help to do the four things we discussed. When we fall short, forgiveness is always available. And so today I'm going to encourage every one of you to put Jesus Christ at the center of your life. You may be a Christian already, but the issue is he right there in the center of your life? I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to urge you, put Jesus Christ at the center of your life. And listen, if you don't know him as Savior, come to know him today. I close with this story. Years ago, my wife and I attended an award ceremony for a major financial company. What happened that night impacted me significantly as a dad. For after the sales winner received his award, he was asked to say a few words. And when he came to the microphone, he immediately started to cry. I had never seen it happen before. He has won the big award, and he is now being recognized, and he starts to cry. He was a very successful businessman and had amassed great wealth. This man had homes in France. He had homes in the Virgin Islands. He had homes in New York. But he was a very lonely man. When his kids were young, he had no time for them. He had no time to discipline them, no time to show them affection, no time to have fun. And now at the pinnacle of his success, they had no time for him. Not one member of his family was willing to come to celebrate his incredible success. Can you imagine that? Not one person showed up. That night, he pleaded with all of us, young father, all us young fathers, to make sure that this does not happen to us. That we don't get so committed to making money and other things that we don't invest the time in our children. He had all this money, but he was a lonely man. I plead with every father today, don't let that happen to you. The first thing you need to do is to make sure Jesus Christ is at the center of your life. For when Christ is at the center of your life, he will help and guide you to make all the other steps that are needed to become a successful parent. Make sure Jesus Christ is at the center of your life. Is he? Father, I pray that right now as we bring this sermon to a close, that the Spirit of God may work in the heart of each of us, and that we may choose to be the parents you desire us to be. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.